Welcome to Digging In, Unearthing Stories of Climate Adaptation, a Lynx podcast series. I'm Cara LeBlanc. If you're like me, when we hear the words climate change in Zimbabwe, we might quickly think about physical adaptations that people need to make in their day-to-day tasks. Things like farming, gathering water, and earning an income. But climate change affects more than just the physical aspects of life. Wendy Craker is looking at how relationships and emotional well-being shift. As I prepared for my conversation with Wendy, I settled into a perfect spot right up against some sunny windows in the Marpeck Commons mezzanine here at Canadian Mennonite University. I had been looking forward to this conversation for a while. I had caught snippets of Wendy's time in Zimbabwe through short hallway conversations, but I wanted to know more. Wendy is an associate professor of peace and conflict transformation studies at CMU. She has spent many years working with communities around the globe developing peace initiatives. In the Lynx Project, Wendy is working with Dr. Kuda Chirambwe, a senior lecturer from Zimbabwe's National University of Science and Technology.
The focus for our project, and I'm saying our because Kuda and I are doing our project together, we wanted to look at as conflict transformation researchers, how are people's relationships, how is social cohesion in the communities being impacted by the climate change itself and the pressures and struggles around trying to adapt to that climate change?
These struggles show up in a variety of significant ways. For instance, while Wendy was in Zimbabwe during her first research trip, she heard stories of how hospitality can be uncomfortable when you don't have anything to share with your neighbors. Or how conflicts can emerge in communities when vital resources like water are scarce. She also heard about conflict between humans and animals. Imagine going to get water at night and being met by hungry hyenas. I was really intrigued by what Wendy had to say about women and their interpersonal relationships in the middle of all these tensions.
One of the things that was somewhat of a surprise, maybe perhaps shouldn't be a surprise, but the impact on women in terms of their physical safety and their sense of well-being about who they were as women. Women in many parts of Africa and in these communities in Zimbabwe, for sure, women are the prime people who need to walk to collect water. And so when there's a shortage of water, now the distances that you have to travel are that much greater. There were women who, with buckets on their head, needed to walk 12 kilometers with their water. That's my cycle to CMU. And I'm thinking, wow, on a daily basis, you're going 12 kilometers, fetching that water, waiting in line to fetch that water, and then walking back with that water on your head, probably also carrying two buckets, a bucket in each hand, and you're doing that all to make sure breakfast and lunch gets prepared. So by the time any of us really are getting going in the day, these women have accomplished that. I was taken aback by that. And what that does to one's physical well-being, can you imagine the pressure on your spine of carrying that water, that distance, carrying water, the absence you are from your young children, the disruption of your relationship with your partner because of that time. I hadn't thought about all of that.
When these women change their routines, family relationships are impacted.
All of us in our societies have some tendency towards roles in our relationships. Men and women as marriage partners, creating a home together. When dynamics change and put on stress, what you thought was your pattern and your roles have to change. And so now when women are leaving the house at 2 a.m. to walk those 12 kilometers, waiting there for hours until first light so that you can get the water, walking that water home, and then starting breakfast because you're the breakfast maker. Now that's putting stress in a relationship where the expectation was, I get up, breakfast is made, someone's getting the kids ready for school, and now the parent who's not used to doing that is needing to do it. And the parent at home who has been sleeping is wondering, what has my wife been doing all night? She says she's getting water, but does it really take that long to get water? So now this kind of mistrust emerges between these two people as these dynamics change and can change unexpectedly.
What can Zimbabweans take away from Wendy's research?
I'm hoping that the project that I'm engaged in is something meaningful for the people that we have interviewed and gotten to know during that process. Because so often research is done just for, you know, what we can produce out of it as a kind of knowledge. Dr. Kuda and I have structured into our project specifically a visit where we will report back to folks. And not only report back, but say, hey, we've heard some of the struggle points in the issues at hand. And we are in the midst of devising a workshop that helps people engage in problem solving issues around the data they gave to us. So they're working with their data and then a framework where we're saying, hey, this is the space to ask questions and figure things out and seeing, yeah, how can you survive in a way that has some place for thriving and flourishing with really the great obstacles that are there. And to just end with taking data wouldn't feel good to either of us. And so we made this sort of two-part project that gives people the ability to discover what might be their agency, their voice, whether that's how they want to engage with partner organizations that are there, the kind of relationships they want with each other, whatever it might be, but that we provide that space and opportunity for them to hear from each other. Yeah, we're all on the same page on this. What can we move forward with? Because there are days, I know several people said, it's hard to wake up in the morning. I know it's the same thing. And so how do we keep living and feeling there's some opportunity for some solidarity, I guess, within the project?
My conversation with Wendy reminded me of the stories I heard from two couples in a remote area of the Binga district. I found out that just getting there is an adventure. The roads in the Binga district are filled with huge potholes, deteriorating from laying out in the blazing sun. Drivers maneuver between the road and the dirt on either side. And some roads end abruptly, so the rest of your journey is only dirt. Some of our drives to visit participants took up to 4 hours, and we were only traveling around 100 kilometers. A number of times during these day trips, we were told that making this journey was super important. We were able to talk with people who may not otherwise be heard. Also, other community members noticed that the work their neighbors are doing is meaningful. The two couples we visited had attended gender equity training with KMTC, Kulima Mbobumi Training Center, one of the partner organizations. Couples are guided through dialogues that help them understand challenging interpersonal dynamics. Linda Mudenda, the gender and social inclusion officer from KMTC, hosted our visits and acted as our translator. We sat outside under a few trees with George Mutale and Nolia Muzamba, who spoke with us in Tonga. Nolia told us about the transformation she has seen in her relationship.
Previously, my husband was very violent. We used to fight. And after the fight, sometimes we could not talk to each other well because of the squabbles. Then after the dialogues, we have been taught on peaceful ways of solving conflicts, which has led to peace. when the dialogues were being done, we were targeted, both the husband and the wife. So it was easy for me to accept it, given that I knew that my husband was being told of the same information. It was going to be very difficult. It has been that it's me who are supposed to relay the information to him. So the strategy of engaging both the husband and the wife was more acceptable, and it made me to accept it easily as a woman, given that sometimes the community may end up interpreting me wrongly as a woman, that perhaps I did something to convince him.
The training encourages couples to divide household tasks and communicate their needs.
Through the trainings, my husband is really transformed, and I appreciate the effort that he is making towards assisting me in doing the household chores. As we speak, even my body now, I'm no longer the same as I used to be because of too much labor. I did not have time to rest. I did not have inadequate time to eat. So at least my body is even improving because of that.
Our conversation with George and Nolia was extended when we met John Muzamba and Esnath Msava down the road. John shared how his perspective on household tasks has changed through the training.
For me, it was easy to accept the situation because it was explained to me in detail on how women have so much burden. I even realized that my wife had a lot of work, which I did not realize earlier. We talked about them going to the fields together. They do the farming. Then when they come back from the fields, the husband go and relax. He sleep. Then the wife continues with cooking. She fetch water. She cooks. And after cooking, they go back to the fields together. So after, the trainings were an eye-opener for him to realize that indeed women have a burden. So it was not very difficult for him to accept the changes, given that the information was well explained. Of course, he said that previously we did not take those things seriously. We thought maybe women enjoy doing that work, it's not burdensome. But after the explanations, it became easy for him to really accept.
Sometimes their neighbors have negative reactions to the changes they are making as a couple.
We are not listening to what other people say as a household. The reason is that same person who says such comments is not the one that is building this homestead.
Yeah.
People say such comments. They comment that maybe I was given love portion. That is the reason why I'm assisting my wife in doing some house chores. But as an individual, this is my homestead. I have a vision for my homestead. So I should not be listening. I took it upon myself that I should not listen to what other people say. And for us to achieve that vision, we have to stop listening to other comments from the people. They may say what they want to say, but we are not listening. We are giving a blind ear. But people will copy, saying that as time goes, people will copy. They will see the benefits.
The benefits for John and Esnath have been remarkable.
The first thing, or the first benefit that I'm realizing is true love at household. I'm really seeing the true love. There is no more suspecting each other. Our love has since increased. My wife is these days, she's always smiling. So because of that smile, our love is rejuvenated.
I appreciated the vulnerability these couples offered us. I felt really honored that they were willing to share these stories with us. So as you can tell, climate adaptation goes well beyond the physical. I learned that climate adaptation is just as much about managing relationships in the field as it is planting seeds. It was satisfying to know that Wendy and Dr. Kuda's research will go right back to participants in the form of local workshops. Thank you so much to my guests, Wendy Craker, Associate Professor of Peace and Conflict Transformation Studies at Canadian Mennonite University, George Mutale and Nolia Muzamba, and John Muzamba and Esnaf Msava, Link's participants in the Binga District, and Linda Mudenda, the Gender and Social Inclusion Officer at Kulima Mbobumi Training Center. Digging In, Unearthing Stories of Climate Adaptation was written and produced by Kara LeBlanc, with story editing by David Balser and mixing assistance by Daryl Neustetter Barg. Thanks for listening. I'm Kara LeBlanc. Lynx is a multi-year Mennonite Central Committee project helping climate-affected populations in Zimbabwe adapt to the changing environment. CMU is one of three research partnerships working alongside two Zimbabwe-based research partners and three local development organizations working across three districts. Lynx is administered in partnership with the Government of Canada and with funding from other generous donors.
Oh, Lynx is locally led, indigenous, nature-based solutions for climate change adaptation in Zimbabwe. Oh, Lynx is locally led.